Thank you, Dan. Brother Dan stated that we were discussing the nation, the troubles that we find while in this world. And before I went to church this morning, I felt the need to check email, and I did so. And there was an email from the Philippines, and Brother Ben Retinal, a teacher in the Church of Christ, who you've held up in prayer before, he passed away. He had a tumor that was operated on a little over 2 years ago, and the doctors gave him no chance for recovery. But there was a miracle, and he came through that. And I sent a piece into the CCEG. You can read that at your leisure, but I marvel at how God granted us those 2 years additional time. He was able to do a great deal to ready the church in the Philippines for his departure. And I used to feel guilty when I used to state that Brother Ben was the best teacher in the Church of Christ I had ever heard. And I was relieved when Brother Dan Lawrence was called to be an elder. I don't have to feel guilty about that anymore. But Brother Ben has moved on to his reward, and it was with a heavy heart I received that message, but at the same time, I can just picture him and his thirst for knowledge being quenched for all eternity. And it brought a smile to my lips. What I'd like to bring to you tonight, our brother said we were talking about some of the difficulties that we find in this life, and also in his prayer, it spilled over the concerns for the nation and the people and the trouble that that we are enduring even now. And a few weeks back, there was a human interest story in the paper. You don't see too many of those anymore. But it was about a young lady that had graduated from college recently, was a teacher, and she was sharing a rented home with another woman, and they were both teachers. And they decided, one of them did, to go exploring in the attic. And the other one didn't want to do it. It was dusty and dirty and surely full of bugs, and who else knows what is in the attic. But they did that. And underneath a loose plank in the floor, they pulled out some drawings that had been there a long time. And they were drawings on paper. You could tell it was a child. They were done in Crayola, but they held up over the years, bright and still colorful. And they were signed Virginia. And so this one girl, she continued the adventure. She determined to use the internet and the phone book and to make inquiries, to check the real estate taxes to see who had lived there years before. And she traced it down to a woman that lives in Overland Park now. And she had did these drawings as a child about 5 or 6 years old. She's in her late 60s now. And so this girl looked her up and took the drawings back to her. She kept one so that she could display it in the hallway and gave the rest back to this woman. And it was kind of a heartwarming story. They struck up a friendship over something that she had drawn years and years, decades ago. And you can just picture a child placing on paper what they're thinking about. Not the troubles of the nation, not the hardships of the economy, not the things you and I as adults worry about, but a child that is looking forward to hope and to growth. She is an artist today, and she continues to draw. didn't say a thing about what the subject of those drawings was, but I wonder, do they closely parallel what she loved as a child? Does it still speak to the hopes that she has that lay ahead? And as a child, trusting without the worries of the world, is she, as an adult, able to trust in a future? What did you do this morning? You looked back and remembered. You made a commitment to Christ not as a physical child, but as a spiritual child. And as you look back and you remember your hopes and your love and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as that woman placed on plain paper and Crayola what was near to her heart, what did you place before your Heavenly Father? And in thinking about what you placed before the altar at that time, has it diminished today? Is it still the same? Is it still bright? The faith that led you into the Church of Christ, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, has it grown to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? And surely, as we look back to that beginning, as a child in Christ, coming into the Church of Christ, he knew our beginning. And we understand that. But I look out and I see some gray hair out there. And I've got some of that. Today, as we age, as we grow older, does he truly know our end? We worry about politics, the economy, our jobs, our food, our lodging, our clothing. We worry about all the physical things of life, but is our priority still brightly drawn in Crayola, as a child, still fresh, still vivid, still growing, still hoping in Christ? I'd like to turn to Mosiah, the second chapter, and I want to read verses that you know. Mosiah, the second chapter, starting with verse 13, it says, simply to believe in God, that he is, that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. You know, that's such a simple fact, such a simple truth. Does it truly sink in? Is it an absolute spiritual truth that God is? I was reading in the paper and on the news about neutrinos. Have you read about that? Something that is faster than the speed of light. 67 nanoseconds faster than the speed of light over a distance of 454 miles. You know, Dan may understand this from his schooling and his teaching and with his degrees, what this truly means. We all grew up with Einstein's theory, and we believed it, that nothing was faster than the speed of light, and a great many things are based upon that truth. And now someone comes up, and it's not proved yet, they're cautiously looking at it, that there is something that is faster than the speed of light. And everything that was based upon that truth, a truth of man, is on shaky ground. Coming back to your spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you came to the Lord Christ, came to that knowledge of Christ, and we do that in the water of baptism and wherever that was, whether that was downstairs in the font or whether that was outside in the cold, whether that is in a pond, running water, a lake, a stream, wherever you were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have something in common. The Book of Mormon states that we come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as we read in Mosiah, the second chapter, that God is, you and I believe that. It is unquestioned. He exists. But when you come down to verse 14, believe that he has all wisdom. Now, things happen in my life that I do not understand why. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense if I look at it as a man. But if I have truly given my will over to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, it is his wisdom that must prevail, not my will. Verse 15, believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And I look at the death of Elder Prudencio Alameda in the Philippines, instrumental in the word coming to the Philippines, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, the restored message, the Church of Christ, instrumental. And when he passed away, all movement stopped. And I wondered, what does God have in mind? He was my age, and I think I'm still young enough. But God chose to bring him home. And since he died, Prudencio did pretty much everything in the Philippines, right and wrong. He was a powerhouse. Since he is no longer there, went back to his reward, I've seen those in the ministry step up the pace, come into their own as preachers, as teachers, as leaders in the Church of Christ. And I look at the death of Brother Ben Ratanel, and I look forward to the same progress. Not that God has to take away that you and I gain, but others pick up the pace. And it doesn't require a death for you and I to pick up that pace, to become who we should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we belong to Christ as a child, looking forward in love and hope and trust to what he is going to build within his church, you and I must keep pace with the growth, not set back and decide, I've got my little kingdom under control. I understand what is in the realm of my responsibility, my duties. But God has called you and I to so much more, to greater service. 16, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. You know what my greatest weakness is? When I take stock of who I am. And I look around and I see how God has caused me to be lifted up. Not that I'm where I should be. Not that I do everything that I should according to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I take stock of where I was and where I am today. And you know what happens? I get dizzy. That's full of pride. We each have to take stock of who we are in Christ, where we are in the growth. We came in as a child, and God expects us to continue as a child with growth in Him. To believe that He has all wisdom, that we can understand all that He orders and determines. But there is a plan. And you and I are a part of this great work. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to look at verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Begotten us again. Romans 8, verse 20 says that you and I, as creatures, were subjected to the vanity of the world, not because you and I chose to be, but because the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Creator, placed us here in hope. And when we come to Christ, we are begotten again unto a lively hope by His resurrection. The power of that resurrection. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and I. I think back on Brother Ben Retinal. Before he was called to be a minister, a teacher in the Church of Christ, he was a valuable member. He was intelligent. He had an understanding. He was a teacher even then. But he also looked at the things of the world. And I'm not saying he was a bad, sinful man. He looked at what the Church of Christ could do financially for him, for his, for the work. Money clouded who he would become. And it took several years for Brother Ben to shed that. And when he did, when he began to look at the kingdom that he was a part of spiritually, not financially, not physically, but spiritually, he began to grow. And the Lord called him forth as a minister. Well, from time to time, he, like I, stumble on the things of the world. But for the most part, his focus was on Jesus Christ. His focus was on teaching, and he was good at it. I learned from him. He was asking me hard questions. And I came up with answers, but not enough to fill the void that was in him. He would ask even harder questions. And I gave him a book, A Marvelous Work and a Wonder, which sometimes is over my head. And he studied it. And out of that book by Daniel McGregor, he developed 4 or 5 expositions on the scriptures, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Holy Ghost, the Church of Christ. And he taught. And people learned. The ministry learned. And I began to worry when he had this tumor. What will we do without our teacher? So prayerfully, I was led to set him up with time, with students, and he began to teach. And they lived with him for 4 or 5 months at a time, and he taught leaders, he taught ministry. And he instilled within them that thirst for knowledge. And he's gone. But we have a priest, Arturo Superior, that because of Ben's frailty could not transport himself. And Arturo helped him from place to place, listened to all the lessons, spent time one-on-one with Brother Ben. And Arturo is teaching those same lessons. And his knowledge, his thirst, has expanded. And I wonder about the ministry here, including myself. Are we looking to pass on our desire, our drive, our hope, our love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking for those that the Lord is going to raise up and passing on what we know, what we take for granted? Are we allowing the young people to become who they can be in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because someday, all these gray hairs will take their toll. Who will be here? Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You and I, as in verse 7, are in the trial of our faith. We came in as a child, believing, hoping, trusting, loving. And to some degree, because of the pressures from the worlds, to some degree, because of the pressures within the Church of Christ, is it the same? And if it's diminished, has God moved? Or has Mike McGee moved? We each have to look to Jesus Christ and determine how this trial of faith will be to the betterment of his kingdom. It says that you and I will become more precious than gold under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What a day. What a day. When I left the Philippines, Sister Pat and I looked upon Brother Ben Retinal. You could look in his eyes, and we determined it's the last time we'll see him physically. But will he come back with Christ? Will all those that we have looked to and loved and followed in their steps as they followed Jesus Christ, what a day that will be when they come back with Christ. All the pillars of the Church of Christ, all the pillars that we find in Hebrews, where it talks about those that died in faith, that had a view of a city, that spent their life, their fortunes, their strength towards that end. And they died not physically attaining, but spiritually. Spiritually. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Brother Dan asked me about business, how it was. It is terrible. Anybody that is commercially in business is hurting right now, unless you repair instruments for a living. But that's not the reason that we exist. The Lord Jesus Christ created you and I, placed us in this world, not by our choice, but because he had a hope in who we can become in him. Turn to Jacob, the third chapter. Jacob 3, and I'm going to look at verses 16 and 17. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten. You have loved ones that are not members of the Church of Christ. Do you have loved ones that are members of the Church of Christ, but for whatever reason are not active? It's a burden you and I bear. But yet we are to be reconciled unto Christ. I've heard those say, we don't have to go to church to believe in Christ, to follow in Christ, to be worthy of the kingdom. They may have a point. But in the Book of Mormon, when those came to a knowledge of Christ in the waters of Mormon, before they were baptized, what did they do? They entered into a covenant with Jesus Christ. We did that. And they also made a commitment to each other within the body of Christ, to be there in times of sorrow, to be there in times of joy, to cry, to celebrate, to share the burdens of life, to commit to the body of Christ physically here. And how can you do that at home? How can you do that choosing not to be a part of the body? We must meet together for the strength that we all bring to the table. You had a sacrament served this morning, I trust. And with that, you had administrations. You can't do that by yourself. You also solicited names of those that stood in need of prayer. You can't do that by yourself. You can't share testimony. You can't witness by yourself. We need each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believed in all these things when we made that commitment in the beginning. But now that we've aged, grown a little older, with all the choices in between, we still childlike in our love, in our hope, in our trust? If you're like me, sometimes I say, yes, I'm still childlike. I'm still the same as when I first came in. But then someone steps on my physical or spiritual toe, and I take offense, and I withdraw. Does a child do that? Well, they suffer a hurt. They suffer a pain. But if that is still someone they love, they still go back. They still embrace. They still love. They still hope. They still build together within the kingdom of Jesus Christ. As a child, I don't do that always. I want to be in control. But do I really? I look at the financial, the economical, the physical, the dangers that are found in this world. Do I really want to be in control of this world? No. I want God to be in control. I want God to control me, to show me the right path, to follow Christ. He allows us to choose. You remember the first time you allowed your child to ride a bike, to take his first step by himself, to walk to school the first time by himself, to allow choice within his life. If you were a good parent, you had rules established, laws set in place, and God does too, but yet he allows us to choose. He allows us to determine. And what used to really bother me about God, before I was even baptized, I was told by the elders God knew what I would choose before I made the choice. And I thought, it's my choice. And it is. But yet God is so all-powerful, omnipotent, that he knows what my choice will determine for my life and yours. He knows what is good for his children, but yet he allows you and I to discover our choice, our path, our commitment, our childlike being. He allows that for you and I. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Out in the world, without your name badge on, without your Sunday tie on, do people recognize who you are, who you believe in? Do people look at you, your choices, your actions, even the tone of your voice, and do they recognize someone that has made a commitment to Christ? It says, let your light so shine. the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that brought light into the world. And it says that men so love darkness that they chose not the light. But I submit to you that if your light shines from Christ within, without, and if it so shines in your community, in your workplace, in your school, what does that say? They'll see your good works. And it says that you glorify God. God that is all powerful. And yet you and I can glorify Him, make Him larger by our choice, by our love as a child. I want to ask you fathers that have sons or daughters, and the first time you did something mechanical for them, to fix a toy, put a bicycle together, to tighten roller skates on, what kind of thanks did you get? You could see it in their eyes. You could see the love and the respect that they had for your action. And mothers, it's the same way. Wiping a nose, caring for the sick. How did your children thank you? You could see it in their eyes. You could feel it in their embrace. And God, it's the same with His children. If our light shines, He sees it. And He measures it. And He is glorified. It says we are to bless God, who has everything except our choice. He knows what we'll choose, but He wants us to discover that choice. And in so discovering, giving the glory to God, we bless God. We have a holy life to live. And it has to be seen, it should be seen in our business, in our school, in our home, within our travels. When you're prosperous, well, that's easy to do. But what about in adversity, times of trial, times when you're at your lowest, when you're stressed? But yet, others should see the light of Christ. They should hear it in our pure conversation. The choices that we make, how we speak, how we conduct ourselves. They should see it as we are faithfully instructed of God. Read the paper and people are in despair. We read the paper and it's a sign of the times. Yes, we're concerned. But we're not given over to worry about it because we know that this life is but a probation, but a preparation for the life to come. I was thinking about Elder Prudencio Alameda the other night. When something special would happen, he had I don't know if I can do it the way he used to, but something would really click and he'd go, well, I can't. He made a clicking noise with his tongue that was audible for a distance. And he did it with a little shake of the head. He was constantly marveling at how God provided. How God provided. And you and I should be the same way. In wonder of what God holds in store, holds within His hand. And that's you and I. I've got a lot more, but I'm not going to crack into it tonight. I've seen a few yawns out there, and I'm starting to get tired too. It's been a long day. This morning, you looked back and you remembered your first step in the Church of Christ. You remembered what you placed upon the altar at that time, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You remembered how clean and fresh and ready for the world you were. And just because we're older, that should not be diminished. We are still children of the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday, someone is going to dig up a record out of Zion's Advocate, out of the minutes of the Church of Christ, speaking about a choice, a work, a commitment that you and I made in Christ. And it's going to speak to them as do the Scriptures, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. All those men and women that we elevate as perfect, they weren't perfect in Christ, but no different than you and I. Someday, you'll be an example, good or bad, of the work that was accomplished in the Church of Christ. Sign of the times, you and I have to be ready for it. Won't be easy, but who do we look to? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that he has already triumphed. He's coming back to reclaim his own. And that's you and I. And I thank you.